Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Sabina Miller.
Hello.
And wasn't that just a tremendous interview with Dr. Quanta Ahmed from Winthrop, which was absolutely...
And I think it pertains to not just us seniors, almost everybody.
No, I agree with you 100%. I didn't even realize that you know, listen to kids and they start to snore. I didn't realize snoring wasn't normal. It's not, everybody snores. Even you have young people that are snoring away. I just thought it was...
No, that's what old men do.
Sometimes young men, too.
Sometimes ladies, too, okay? Let's ease up, Sabina.
All right, now let's talk about Nora.
Now we're going to go, and we're very fortunate to have members from the Port Washington Play Troupe with us. Kate Beckman, who has been here before.
Yes.
Who is just absolutely wonderful. And joining her is John Kazanjian. I said it perfect before.
I told you.
I have this like radio thing. Like, no, it's not coming out now.
It's the most challenging of all last names.
No, we've had some. Trust me. Oh, yeah. Now, we know we have from the Port Washington Play Troupe a very interesting program coming up. And Kate, you can start bringing it to our attention.
All right. On this Thursday, October 29th at 8 p.m. over here in the Hillwood Lecture Hall, Recital Hall on the campus of LIU Post, we are doing a live radio drama broadcast of The War of the Worlds. We are doing the original 1938 script that was written by Howard E. Koch. And this is the script, the radio broadcast, that set a panic because people who did not hear the opening comments and the introduction to the radio program and tuned in late, they honestly believed that the Martians had invaded the Earth and it ensued a panic. So it was quite trend-setting for its time. And the name that is affiliated with it, Orson Welles, was the director and also played one of the lead characters. So that's
He was both. Oh, okay. Yes. I didn't think he was just a piece of the... Okay.
Oh, he direct... In fact, we were just talking about this with the director of broadcasting, Dan Cox, here. Orson Welles not only directed the piece, but he played one of the principal roles. And it was quite a trend. It went down the next morning... That was the talk around town, that, you know, the Martians had invaded. At the very end, they do say it was just a Halloween prank because it was broadcast on October 30th, 1938, and was really the theater or the radio group was called Mercury Theater on the Air, and they actually, it was their sort of Halloween prank
to do
the War of the Worlds. So that's what we're going to do. It will be live next Thursday evening. People can also come and watch the radio broadcast in Hillwood Commons. They can come and buy tickets at the door or online at wcwp.org. And they can also listen. It'll be streamed as well on wcwp.org. So.
But you know what I find interesting? Young people here. Their children will not know about radio as... When the phone came out years later, the generations didn't know. It used to be on the wall, and you would crank, and you would call, hello, you know. And radio is still alive and well and fascinating, and you're the proof of it.
And this is one of the reasons that working with Dan and Port Washington Play Troupe, they've brought back the golden age of radio and the radio dramas. We've done a number of different radio dramas. I've been here in the past.
What do you call that person again? You know the one I'm talking about.
Oh,
they talk about it. Just recently it
Sound effects.
Right. But
Jack, well, it's named after Jack Foley.
What happened was,
as they started to bring talkies into film, they realized to get the sound, the microphones weren't developed enough that they had to have someone doing all of the sound effects.
Right.
And the Foley artists, and that's why it's interesting to come and see it as well. Because if you listen to it on air, hopefully it sounds realistic. But when you watch it being done, the actors don't handle any of the sound effects. It's all done by Foley artists that will be on one section of the stage. And for instance, this particular broadcast or drama, there's a series of bulletins. They wanted to make it realistic. So if someone tuned in, it would sound like it was real. And it did, obviously, from the panic that ensued. So every time a new bulletin comes, the Foley artist on mic, takes a piece of paper and flips the paper as if someone's the way you would right now. You're doing your own sound. And so that's the Foley artists will do. And the last rehearsal we had, they started adding the sound effects for the alien spaceships. And it's kind of creepy.
Wow.
Kind of creepy. There's a gizmo, a gadget called a theremin that does
Oh, the theremin.
Right, the theremin that will do that humming and that, you know, that as the spaceships come in and start to take over the Earth.
Terrific. You think John, I just want to go to John, because John's sitting here. What's your role in this?
I play Carl Phillips, the reporter on the scene.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't want to give away his fate or anything, but very interesting character, very sort of in the middle, gets right up close with the aliens. I go home and I'm up all night.
Now, what is a bit of your background? Is this the first time you've done anything, or have you done stuff in the past?
I have a theater background. You know, growing up in college, I did a lot of theater. I'm a composer.
Oh, really?
My job, yeah. I spent the last 10 years in Los Angeles doing like improv with Groundlings, studying with them, and different kind of film and TV stuff.
Okay.
So I just moved back in November, and I saw a sign for the Port Washington Play Troupe, and thought I'd come check it out.
Terrific. That's what people have to appreciate. The people that get involved in this are talented people that have been doing stuff. They're not just, you know, Kate is not going out begging people. They're people who want to participate in these things. Sabina?
To be in show business, because I used to be, you have to want it because the pay is not that good when you start out. But I want to ask you, you're an actor, and you've done stage and so forth, and you're now doing radio. Do you have a preference?
You know, it's hard to say, really. I mean, music's always my preference. I'm just like, you know, anything involving music I prefer over anything else. But we were talking outside in the waiting room just about the idea of a medium sort of being isolated, the audience perceiving something isolated. So what I love about radio is that there's no, unless you're there in the studio, I suppose, there's no visual. So by isolating one of your senses and receiving that kind of information, you really feel like you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
Yeah, so
but
I mean,
you
like,
need the music.
You do need the
for radio.
Sure. It plays a big part in the War of the Worlds also.
I'm from a music business family.
Oh, really?
And so that's, you know, we have, you know, and when I say my father did background music for the movies and so forth, they say, what do you mean? And I say, bad cowboy, ba 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 bum.
Right, right.
Good cowboy, ba 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 ba.
That's a lot of what I did in Los Angeles.
So you need that for radio.
Sure. Music is the shade that colors the character.
And also something that made War of the Worlds so different, it uses music. So what they do, and the pacing is very different, because in radio we know about the talk of the evil of dead air, and that you can't have nothing going on.
Right.
But in this particular script, what'll happen is, of course, in the beginning, they said this was all staged. But if you miss that, so you're channel surfing. You're flipping your radio, and all of a sudden you hear this tango. And you go, oh, I want to sit and listen to this, which was War of the Worlds. So there's music there, and then all of a sudden they break in with a bulletin. So if you don't know what was set up, you know, then you think this is really real. And then you hear Stardust. Now we're going to go back and listen to Stardust.
Oh, really? See, I don't know anything about
it. Yes,
I thought the whole thing is just about...
Oh, no.
So the music is very, very...
So you're actually interrupting a normal segment of radio, so to speak.
It's almost like a guerrilla narrative. I mean, it's sort of like, it gives you the sense of safety that you're listening to a normal radio broadcast, and it interjects with this terrifying storyline.
I thought it was a whole story about aliens, like if you're reading a book about aliens, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that you picked into it, but now I get it. Okay.
The way they set it up was so that it would seem more realistic with news broadcasts, and that's what caused the panic. So you have music, and then all of a sudden everything would go dead. Or, for instance, one of the scenes that John does, at the end, he says, you know, let me move my mic closer, because he's supposed to be the celebrated man on the street giving the eyewitness report. And then there's one point where there's just like a 10-second dead air, nothing. And people listening to that was like, well, what happened? It's like having a power. I remember when we had Hurricane Sandy. Radio was my connection, my lifeline, because my television cable wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I realized how much I relied, that radio was my, to what was going on in the outside world. So people listening to this, and all of a sudden everything cuts out. and the next thing that comes back is a bulletin as to what happened. So it's a series of bulletins. It's really kind of creepy.
It sounds fascinating and scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Halloween. Right. It's Halloween.
Well, Halloween was not made for old people.
I think it's also a less is more kind of thing, too. We've been shocked with every kind of visual in a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Gory, horror, and everything. We're desensitized to it. Nothing's really scarier than silence in this day and age.
You're right. There's nothing left to be well, for me, there's a lot. But for you youngsters.
No, when you go to the movies, I mean, I don't go to those type of movies, but honestly, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. With the cinematography, you can't even come scarier now. I mean, they control it completely. This is going back to the original eeriness of emptiness almost. It's like,
well, John and I were talking about this while we were waiting for the segment, and in Greek theater, the Greeks would have a messenger come on stage and describe the battle. They wouldn't stage the battle because they felt that the audience could create a far more horrific image of what was happening than they could ever stage.
In reality.
And I also thought that's great for a producer because I don't have to spend all the money to stage the battle.
Right. That's true, though, 100%.
But they leave it to the mind.
Same as reading a book and then you go see the movie. Right. That's not how I thought John was going to look. That's not how I thought Kate was going to look. You know, it's like, or the house that they described.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I agree with you 100% that the mind has so much to play when you're listening to the radio part of it.
Definitely.
Very rarely do people say the film was better than the book.
I agree, right. I don't think I've ever heard it because you created the movie in your mind.
Right, exactly.
And then I'm watching you produce something different. It's like, that's not what I thought it was going to be.
And the other thing, too, doing radio, we're brought into radio because of our voices, not our physical appearance.
Right,
as a friend of mine who's a DJ says, he says, I have a face for radio. And I tell my students when I teach speech, I said, listen to somebody's voice, don't look at them, and then see what image you get. And many of them say, well, yeah, you know, I keep listening to this DJ, and then I finally got to see what he or she looked like, and it just didn't match.
Right.
Because we're hired or we're brought on because of our voices, not our...
You know what? It is fascinating, and with the advent of movies, we were taught to be visual. You know, you want to go out with my friend, well, what does he look like? Nobody says, what does he sound like?
That
what kind
amazing.
Of guy is he?
Yeah.
What's the texture of his voice like?
What's in his wallet, I think, too. Actually, we're going to go into a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Kate and John.